Let me take you back to 1992 before we read the scriptures. And there was a Cyrus in the news, but it wasn't for doing lewd acts. It was for having a sweet mullet, party in the back, business in the front, and singing his hit song, Achy Breaky Heart, Billy Ray Cyrus, back in 1992. Remember him? Let's continue to memories from 1992. Windows 3.1 came out. Anybody remember that? And it allowed us to be able to play two games at once while we were at work. Never before were we able to play two games at once while we were supposed to be working. And then also back in 1992, young Pastor Jeremy was studying hard at Madison Elementary School down the road. And one day I woke up and I put on my favorite Madison Mustangs sweatshirt and my favorite Mustangs matching sweatpants, and I went to school and we got an assignment. And it was an assignment that nobody understood. It was, we were to have a science project that we're going to make for a science fair. At this point in my life, I don't think I even knew what science was. I don't think any other students did either. And so they gave us this paper. They said, for the science project, you're going to ask a question. You're going to do background research. You're going to construct a hypothesis to test one variable. You're going to test your hypothesis by doing an experiment. You're going to analyze your data and draw a conclusion and then communicate your results. And for someone in third or fourth grade, I mean, this is way over my head. We're all looking at each other. Nobody understood this assignment. What are they talking about? What is this science project? And they said that this science project will be judged against each other at a science fair. So we'll bring our project to school, and then we'll all be judged. And so we realized this is a serious project. So the students run home. We all ran home, and we took that paper to our parents. And we said, Mom and Dad, can you explain what is going on here? What am I supposed to be doing in this science project? And some parents were able to help out. They had the time and knowledge to be able to do that. And other parents were not able to help out. And so the students whose parents were able, they went and spent the next 2 weeks working with their parents on a science project. And those who weren't able to get their parents to help out went and worked for the next 2 weeks on their own. As I mentioned, nobody understood this assignment. We were just way too young. And so my mom was one of the people who was able to help out. And I asked my mom, I said, Mom, what should we do? And she said, I got an idea. We will take different brands of popcorn, and we'll pop them at the same time, at the same temperature, and that way, when we get done with this brand, then we'll count the popped kernels versus the unpopped kernels, and then move to the next brand and down the line, and that way we'll be able to find out which popcorn pops the best. It's measurable, it's repeatable, it's testing one variable. I was like, Mom, that's brilliant, that's fantastic. And so we spent the next 2 weeks working on this project, popping popcorn. And then the big day for the science fair came, and we put our results, displayed them on cardboard, brought it in. And we went into the gymnasium. They had the tables all lined up, lots of tables for the students, and the students put their projects on the tables. And the judges went by and looked at each one and asked us questions and judged the different projects in the science fair. And one of the students whose parents didn't help him, his name was Matt Newman, he didn't understand the goal of the project. His parents clearly didn't give him any direction. And his science project was that he drew a picture of a fish. And that was a science project. And to show how little the students knew about what the assignment we were truly doing was, we all thought that Matt Newman's fish picture was going to win this thing. He drew the best picture of a fish we'd ever seen. It had, like, scales, intricacies, detail. The proportions were perfect. We all thought we had no chance against Matt Newman's fish. And you could walk through that science project, one project to the next, and there wasn't a parent in sight. There wasn't a parent there. But you could see the parents' work and what they had done with their children and the lives of their children. This parent told their child to pop popcorn and test popcorn against each other. This parent had told their child to test the strength of glue and how it bonded different substances. This kid had no help at all, so he drew a picture of a fish. And you couldn't see the parents there, but you could see that what the work the parents had done in their lives. In their projects. And when it came time to judge, we were all staying there waiting, expecting Matt Newman's fish picture to win. And lo and behold, we were all surprised and amazed when my project was chosen as the winner. And they said, the winner of the science fair is which popcorn pops the best. And I'll never forget how angry Matt Newman was. He thought he had that thing locked up. And he felt robbed and he felt cheated. And he was so mad at me. But I didn't let that ruin my moment in the sun. And so what's my point other than that my mom is, I mean, I'm great at science. My point is just that you couldn't see the parents there. You could walk through and not see a single parent, but you could tell what the parents had done with their children. Jesus Christ was God come to earth. The Word, which was in the beginning with God and was God, came to earth in the flesh. He died on the cross in our place for our sins. And he rose from the grave, and then he ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he can walk through the world, and he can no longer see God in the flesh. But God is still present through the power of his Holy Spirit. And just as those parents changed the lives of those students, even though you couldn't see them at that science fair, God still changes the lives of his children today. The power of the Holy Spirit still changes lives. We read from John chapter 3, if you open with me there. Does your life need a change? Reading in John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And so here we've got a guy whose life needs a change. We find out in the first verse that he's a Pharisee, which means he's very religious, he's highly educated, he's important, he's a ruler of the Jews. Here's a ruler of the Jewish people. And this highly educated, important, religious man comes to Jesus. It says this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And so this important, educated, religious person comes to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to learn something. He's looking for the truth. His life needs a change. And even though he's highly educated, he's important, he's religious, he knows that Jesus is not just another religious guy. He says, you come from God because no one could do the signs and miracles that you do. And Jesus was God himself, come to earth in the flesh, and he had gathered quite a following as he's proving himself to be God, powerful over illnesses, sickness, death, and evil. And people are noticing. Nicodemus has noticed. He says, no one could do these things unless you came from God. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus, looking for the truth and looking for a change. And it says he comes at night. It doesn't say why he came at night, but perhaps it was because he was supposed to know the truth. He was a ruler. He was a Pharisee. He was educated, religious, and important. He was someone who was supposed to know the truth. And perhaps he didn't want people to see someone who was supposed to know the truth coming to Jesus, looking for the truth. And so this man humbles himself. He comes at night and he looks to learn from the Son of God. He says, you must be a teacher come from God. No one could do the things that you can do unless God were with him. And in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus cuts right to the chase. He doesn't wait for Nicodemus to ask a question. He answers Nicodemus' thoughts. And he starts off by saying, truly, truly, I say to you. Nicodemus had come looking for the truth, and Jesus is here, and he's going to tell Nicodemus the truth. And he starts off, he says, truly, truly, I say to you. Because our world is full of lies. There's no end to bad information, bad directions. And Jesus tells us the truth. Our world is full of lies, but Jesus tells us the truth. And Nicodemus has come looking for it, and Jesus is going to tell him the truth. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. And the truth that he tells Nicodemus, the truth that Nicodemus needs to hear, Jesus answers his thoughts, and he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so if you're a note taker, the first thing that we can learn tonight, today, if you have your bulletins, the notes I think are on the third flap on the inside, only those who are born again will see the kingdom of God. That's a truth that Nicodemus needed to hear. And so what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is where God reigns. And Nicodemus would have been familiar with this teaching and understood it as an educated Pharisee. The kingdom of God is where God reigns. It's where there's no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no injustice, no illness, no sorrow, no death, and no evil. The kingdom of God is where God reigns and is in control, and only his will happens in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, only those who are born again will see this kingdom. Jesus began to bring the kingdom here 2,000 years ago. Jesus began to bring the kingdom here. And now 2,000 years later, we are waiting for his return. And when Jesus returns, he will destroy all evil and remove all evil. And from that point going forward, all we will experience as followers of Christ is God's kingdom. And Jesus says that those who are born again will see that kingdom. This is a truth that he tells Nicodemus. Now at that science fair, when we were handed that paper, some kids went home and received the truth from their parents. The parents told them the truth about that science fair. They said, hey, this is not about a fish picture. This is about an experiment. You need to make an experiment and bring this to the science fair. And the kids who didn't have the truth bumbled around in darkness. They didn't understand what the science fair was all about. And those students whose parents were able to give them the truth ended up going in the right direction and spending the next 2 weeks working on a science project, knowing what the science fair was all about. And likewise, Jesus tells us the truth about this world. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about good overcoming evil. And Jesus tells us truth to Nicodemus. Those who don't have this truth in life bumble around in darkness, not knowing what this world is truly about. And those who have the truth go about living their lives for the kingdom of God, knowing that if they repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, that they will be saved and see this kingdom. And Jesus says those who are born again are the ones who get it. They're the ones who see it. Those who are born again will see the kingdom of God. Unless our eyes are opened, unless the eyes of our heart are opened, unless we become spiritually alive, we are spiritually dead and we cannot see this kingdom. And my question is, do you see it? Do you see the King of the kingdom? Do you see Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, your Savior, the God who came to earth to die in your place for your sins, to rise from the grave to give you eternal life so that you will spend eternity in this kingdom because God loves you and wants to preserve you forever? Do you see the kingdom of God? Are you born again? And if we see God's kingdom through being born again, we need to know what that means. What does it mean to be born again? Because that's important. And Nicodemus knows it's important. He's familiar with this teaching. And yet it makes no sense to him. Verse 4, Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus, who's highly educated, he's very religious. He's very important and intelligent. He proves he has no idea what Jesus is talking about. He shows he has no understanding of what Jesus is talking about. And he gives this kind of goofy answer. Jesus, I mean, you think I'm going to crawl back in my mom, you know, but I'm ching. He shows he has no idea what's going on. He's spiritually dead. The eyes of his heart have not been opened. Nicodemus doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. He's spiritually blind. And so Jesus explains it to him. He's patient. And again, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Being born of flesh just means being born physically. It means being born of your mother, and that means born with a sinful nature. We all have it. And we prove that we have it in the choices that we make. The choices that we make that we know to be ungodly. The choices we make that we know God wouldn't make. Choices which we make which hurt ourselves, which hurt others, and which rebel against God. We all prove that we have this sinful nature. We prove that we're less than perfect. And we show that we are born separated from God. Being born of your mother, being born physically, is not enough to inherit eternal life. That's not what gets us in. Jesus lets us know that being born again means having a spiritual birth. And how do we become a part of God's kingdom? Well, we need to be born spiritually. We need to come alive spiritually. We have to be born again. Jesus tells us, he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the first spirit he's talking about in that sentence is the Spirit of God. It's God's very presence on earth. We have to have a spirit that comes alive through the presence of God, giving us the gift of his Spirit in us. It's a gift that comes from God's very Spirit himself, his presence on earth. And when this happens, we go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. And this is how we see the kingdom of God. When we become spiritually alive, then we see the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus says, those who are born again can see it. In verse 7, Jesus says, "Do not marvel, Nicodemus, that I say, you have to become spiritually alive." He says, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." And he says this because Nicodemus is a teacher. He's educated. He's religious. He should be familiar with the scriptures. In Ezekiel 36:26, Jesus tells the nation of Israel through the prophets, he says, "I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit." And Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, as being highly educated, as a ruler of the Jews, you should know what the prophets have told the Jewish people. Don't marvel that I say this to you, Nicodemus. You should know. But Nicodemus proves that he doesn't understand with his question. Despite all of his religious training, despite all of his morality, despite being a Pharisee, despite being a ruler of the Jews, he does not have a living spirit. Jesus knows the truth that Nicodemus needs to hear, the path that he needs to take. And it's that he needs to be born again. He needs a living spirit inside of him. He needs to be going from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. He needs a change in his life. And do you need a change in your life? Do you need God's living spirit within you? In verse 8, Jesus continues and he explains what being spiritually born in the spirit is like. He says, "The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." He says, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He says, you don't know where it's coming from. You can't see it, but you can hear its sound. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? You can hear its sound. Just as the wind is real, we can't see it, but we know it's real because we can see the trees moving. We can see that the wind is real and it's powerful. It'll blow the leaves off the trees. It'll blow our houses over. The wind is powerful and it's real and it can't be seen. It's powerful but invisible. It's effective, but we can't see it with our eyes. And Jesus says, so is God's Holy Spirit. It's real. Jesus lets us know that the wind is real, and so is spiritual birth from the Holy Spirit of God. You can't see God's Spirit, but you can see it moving in the trees. You can see God's Spirit moving in His children. You can see what God is doing. You can see where He is by looking at the followers of Jesus Christ. Just as the wind is unseen but real, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is the same. And it's not something that we can do. This is not something that we can do ourselves. We can't go home and try really hard and force ourselves to believe. We can't go home and flex our muscles and put a lot of effort into it and become spiritually born again. It's something that we rely on God to do for us. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "No one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." It takes the power of the Holy Spirit for us to be born again. And this verse is not just about saying the words, "Jesus is Lord," but truly knowing, truly being able to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord. We cannot do that except by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can try. We can say the words ourselves. But we need the Holy Spirit to make that change happen in our lives. It's the power of God that we are born again. It's not something that we can do ourselves. The Holy Spirit has to move and make us new people. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us these things. Being born again is a gift from God. And all that we can do is to humble ourselves, to repent of our sin, to pray for that faith, to pray for that gift, and to pray for God's Holy Spirit in us, to give us a new life of faith. And the biggest change is faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit leads us to God. It leads us to His Son, Jesus, and faith in Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit has come and we are born again, we will be able to truly say that Jesus Christ is our Lord. We'll be able to truly say that we love Jesus. And since we can't do it on our own, that means something supernatural occurs at the moment, at the time of every conversion. It's the Holy Spirit moving in us, changing our hearts, making us new, opening our eyes. And have you seen someone who's had the eyes of their heart opened, Last week I said there's nothing as spectacular, nothing as wonderful, nothing as magnificent. There's nothing as powerful, nothing as amazing as when you can look in the eyes of someone and see the difference that the Holy Spirit has made in their lives. Last week you saw that they were spiritually dead, but now they're spiritually alive. Last week, like Nicodemus, they had no idea what they were talking about when they talked about God. Now all of a sudden they talk about God with passion and love and faith. Have you been able to look in the eyes of someone who's converted, someone who's been born again recently, and see that change? My dad's not a very talkative person. And it came time, I was dating Sarah, and it came time for Sarah to meet my family for the first time. And she said, what should I expect? What are they like? And I told her about my family, and I got to my dad, and I said, well, you know, my dad's not an incredibly talkative person. He talks about three things usually, pretty passionately. Other than that, he doesn't say much, but he'll talk about woodworking because he loves to build things and work with wood. He'll talk about playing the drums because he's a really great drummer and he's got a lot of good memories. And he'll talk about how many times the Vikings have let him down. And those are kind of his three topics, you know. And so it comes time for Sarah to meet my family, meet my father, and you know, she's meeting her father-in-law for the first time, and she's trying to strike up a conversation with them. And she's like, so, I hear you like woodworking. He goes, yep. She goes, Jeremy tells me you made that cabinet over there. Yep. And he says, you're a really good drummer, and you like to play the drums. Mm-hmm. She's like, boy, this is... And my dad was not one, he's not a talker. He's not someone who will have long conversations and talk passionately about many different things. My mom took the family to church week after week from the time I was 2 years old throughout high school, throughout the time I moved out. And she continued going to church week after week after that. We'd come home from church every Sunday and Dad would never ask what happened. What did he talk about? What did you do? Dad didn't talk about it. He wasn't interested in it. Frankly, he didn't really like it. That we were going to church. And men's golf is today at 1, by the way. I was out on a golf course about 3 years ago playing golf. And excited to play golf again this afternoon. I was out with my friends 3 years ago, and my mom called me on the phone. And she said, Dad is born again. I was like, what? When did this happen? She says, yeah, he came to church with me last couple weeks, and he went in today, and he made a commitment to Jesus Christ with a pastor, and he committed his life to Christ, and he's born again. I just couldn't imagine what that would look like. I was 30 years old. I've known my dad for 30 years as he's not been open to the gospel, not interested in talking about Jesus Christ. I was like, well, what's it like? She goes, well, it's a lot like having a new baby in the house. I keep the lights low, and it's very quiet. She goes, he's got a lot of thinking that he's doing. I'm like, well, what's he like? What happened? She goes, well, you just have to call him and find out for yourself. And I'm not in the habit of calling my dad because, as I mentioned, he's not the most chatty person. So I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't know what it would look like, so I call him on the phone. And I said, Mom tells me you're born again. And my dad talked about God for an hour. It's a conversation that would have never happened. It would have never happened. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, he had something to talk about for an hour about what God has been doing in his life, how he led, Holy Spirit led him to the Lord. My dad is a new person. As I mentioned, he's not the most talkative guy. He doesn't go out and socialize a whole lot. And he comes home from making that commitment to Christ. And he turns to my mom and says, what's going on tonight? He's like, what do you mean, what's going on? He's like, what's going on? Let's go see what's happening. So there's a birthday at church, and my mom took my dad to this birthday party of someone at church, and my dad told everyone there. He told them that I'm a new believer in Jesus Christ. I've been born again. A conversation which would have never happened. There's nothing as amazing, nothing as miraculous, nothing as powerful, nothing as awesome as when you can look in the eyes of someone and see that their life has been changed. That they were spiritually dead, but now they've spiritually come to life. Last week I shared the story of how I had my born-again experience in college. How for the first time in my life I could say that Jesus Christ was my Lord. How I could say that I had love for Jesus, something that I couldn't even fathom, couldn't even imagine, couldn't even relate to before. For the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit had changed my heart. I could say I love Jesus. I went back to my dorm room, and my roommate would always take the name of the Lord in vain when he was angry or stub his toe, and it never bothered me before. And I came home, I was a new person. You could look in my eyes and see that I was spiritually alive. And my roommate stubbed his toe, and for the first, he said the name of the Lord in vain, and it felt like someone had cursed my mother. The Holy Spirit had changed my life and changed my heart. I could say that I loved Jesus. I could say that he was my Lord. And I remember I hadn't told anybody. It was the days before Facebook. I hadn't yet to tell anybody what had happened to me, what God had done in my life. And I was thinking of how I was going to do this. I was going to tell this to my friends. And we went to dinner and we sat down. And I was hanging out with a lot of people who were doing things I knew I shouldn't be doing. And so I was wondering how I'm going to tell them that I'm born again, that I can no longer be around them. It just doesn't feel right when they're doing these things. And I'm sitting there thinking, how am I going to say this? And again, I hadn't told anybody yet. And one of the kids looked at me and he said, "You're a God kid now, aren't you?" He could see. He could look in my eyes. He could see the change that God had made in my life. And the Holy Spirit changes our lives. And when we are born again, we can see the kingdom of God. There's truth and beauty and goodness and love and salvation and justice that's found in Jesus Christ, that's found nowhere else. And the Holy Spirit of God opens our eyes to that. We can't see the Spirit, but you can see what it's doing in the world and what it's doing in people. Have you been able to look in the eyes of someone and see the change that God has made in their lives? Do you have that living Spirit in you? I've had people ask me before, am I born again? And I've tried to answer that question a few times to some people. I don't know if I've gotten it right. And I think it's so much easier just to let other people answer it. Are you born again? Do you feel different? Do you feel new? Can you say that you love Jesus? Can you say that Jesus is the Lord of your life? I think it's much more easy for others to answer. It's not something that we can see or do. It's something that God does in our hearts. And when we are spiritually born, we'll be able to say the Holy Spirit is in us. Because it's not something we can do. It's something that God has done, something that he's given us. We'll be able to say that we have faith in our Lord Jesus. We'll be able to say he's our Lord. We'll be able to say that we love him. And so if you're seeking God, if you're seeking a change in your life, if you're seeking the Holy Spirit of God, I encourage you just to humble yourself, just to pray for the Holy Spirit to open your heart. Let God know that you want a change in your life. Start worshiping Jesus. The Holy Spirit leads us to the Lord. Do you ever sing to Jesus? That's why music is so important. That's why it's such a big part of our service. Human beings sing about what we love. And Jesus' church loves its Lord. And so if you're seeking the Holy Spirit of God, if you're wondering what this is all about, start worshiping Jesus. Sing to him. Serve others in the name of Jesus. Go out and start doing service. And start making decisions like you believe. Last week, we read about a guy who was looking for a change in his life, and he came to Jesus, and he said, "If you can help me, please have compassion and help me." And Jesus says, anything is possible for him who believes. And he wants his life changed. He says, "I believe, help my unbelief." And we start making decisions like we believe. It's a way to live that out. If we don't have faith, if we can't say that we love the Lord or know the Lord, we start making decisions like we believe. It's living that out in real life. It's living out saying to God, "I believe, help my unbelief." So if you're seeking the Holy Spirit, start making decisions like a believer. Say, "God, I think I know what you would do in this situation. And even though I would perhaps like to do something else, I'm going to do what you do, God, because I believe, help my unbelief." So if you're looking for the Holy Spirit of God in your life, these are some of the things that I think can help. And again, it's just something that God does. Some people have a very strong experience in a moment, and they can say, "I was born again on this day." Other people I've heard have told me that, you know, my born-again experience is more of a process. I went through this long process, and one day I was driving the car, I was going about my normal activities, and I realized I believe. If it happened, at some point it happened over that time, I'm born again. And so if you're seeking the Holy Spirit of God, everyone has their own unique experience. And these are some of the things that we can do as we wait for God to do his work in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, God, which is so hard to put into words. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would send your Holy Spirit here, God, that we can experience it, that we can know what you are talking about. I pray that you'd open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, to your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd open our hearts to faith. Heavenly Father, if we don't know if we love you, God, if we don't know if we know you, if we're unsure if you're truly the Lord of our lives, God, I pray that you would give us the humility and the strength to humble ourselves and begin seeking your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would move in the lives of our people and in my life, God. Bring us spiritually alive. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, which brings dead people to life. God, we pray for that. We pray for that this week. And Lord, we also lift up the offering that we're about to receive. We pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. And we love you, and we need you. We pray this in your name. Amen. As the baskets pass, if you're new here, we ask that you not put anything in the basket. Our regular members and attenders do a great job of providing for the ministry here. If you are new, we ask that you fill out a connection card and place in the basket so we know you were here. And after the baskets pass, please stand and join us in worship.